from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because I was taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hanani the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Let's pray, dear God. Just thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to hear preach. Please just fill pastor with your spirit now and give us ears to hear. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Okay, we're in Jeremiah chapter 28. And look down at your Bible at verse number 10. It says here in verse number 10 of Jeremiah 28, "Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way." And what I want to preach on this morning is the topic of sensationalism. Sensationalism. Now, the very definition of sensationalism basically is to present information in such a way with the intent to provoke public interest or excitement. Really, that is the definition of sensationalism. It's to present something in a sensational way so as to impress or to attract recipients and listeners to what you're saying. We would use today the word dynamic, right? That person is a dynamic speaker, is a dynamic preacher. Now, we'll say this is that there's a negative connotation to this, right? With this word that's basically defined the same way. It's a person who delivers a message with excitement, with fervor, but it's at the expense of accuracy, okay? In other words, they're dynamic, they're sensational, they're exciting, but they're wrong, okay? And both of these forms of preaching are actually found in the Bible. And in fact, we have two examples right here in the book of Jeremiah. We have first and foremost the accurate, dynamic, sensational preacher known as Jeremiah, right? This man preached the word of God. He preached against Judah. He preached against Israel. And he had an audience. Now, the audience that was listening to him didn't like him. But nevertheless, they couldn't help but listen to what he was saying. And you don't have to turn there, but Jeremiah 27, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord to me, Make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, and the king of the Ammonites, and the king of Tyrus, and the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. And command them to say unto their masters, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say unto your masters." And he goes on to the message there. So what God is telling Jeremiah, he's saying, hey, I want you to use this extravagant illustration. I want you to put a yoke upon you of wood. And what that's doing is symbolizing the yoke that I'm going to put on Israel and on Judah for their sins against God. What is he doing? He's being sensational. He's kind of exaggerating, right? He can simply just go to them and say, hey, God's going to take you away by the hand of Babylon because you sin against them. See you later. That's not what he's doing. He grabs a yoke, he puts it on his neck, and he says, you see this? You see how I'm in a yoke and I'm in bondage? Well, the same thing is going to happen to you. That is a form of being sensational right there. Now, we see him being a sensational, dynamic preacher, but he's accurate. What he's saying is true. What he's saying is from the mouth of the Lord. But we also have the inaccurate dynamic preacher, which is Hananiah, right? And look down at your Bibles at verse 10 of chapter 28. It says, "Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it." So this preacher comes, he grabs that yoke, and he just breaks it, right? And what is he trying to illustrate there? Look what it says in verse 11. "And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way." So he grabs that same yoke, he breaks it, and he's saying, look, the same way God's going to break the yoke and you're going to be delivered. You know, he's this patriot pastor, preacher, who is promising them these things. But here's the thing, it's not true. Now, what he did was dynamic. I'm sure when he took that yoke and he broke it, people were like, whoa, man, this guy's pretty strong. He's making a point. What he's saying is pretty zealous. It's pretty bold to do that because he's going against what this prophet is saying, and this prophet is claiming that he's getting it from God, right? And it sounds good, you know. People are, I'm sure, are believing him. They're thinking to themselves, "Well, man, I mean, this guy's a prophet too. He's just as dynamic. He's just as sensational." But here's the difference. He's inaccurate. What he's saying is not true. It is a false statement. So you can see how both of these deliveries could evoke excitement and attention to public and public reaction, right? When Jeremiah comes and he brings the yoke, it attracts the attention of the people to say, man, obviously something crazy is going to happen. But then when Hananiah comes and does the same exact thing, it's like, well, who should we believe? But one sensationalist presented his message with accuracy and the other did not. Sensationalism, let me just start off by saying that sensationalism is important in order to emphasize the gravity of a message being proclaimed, right? You know, no one wants to listen to a boring preacher. Let's just be honest. Can we be honest here? Amen. No one wants to listen to a dried up, just prune of a preacher, even if they are preaching accurately at times. Now look, I prefer a dry preacher who's preaching accurately than a sensational preacher who is inaccurate, okay? But at the end of the day, God actually wants his preachers and his pastors to be sensational. He wants them to be exciting. Why? Because we have an exciting message to present, whether that of judgment or that of salvation or that of any other counsel that the Bible teaches us. The Bible is an exciting book. It has an exciting message. Now, there are times when preachers get up and they're sensational, they're dynamic, but they actually lack content. They're shallow. They don't really have a whole lot of Bible with them. And they attract a lot of people. Like, for example, Joel Osteen is a sensational preacher. And the proof is in the pudding. Look at his stadium. I mean, when you have a church inside of a stadium, by the way, it's not a church, obviously. This church is filled with baptized believers, amen? You know, when you have that, obviously people are coming to listen to him give his little motivational speech. And he's sensational. Now, why preach on this particular topic? Well, for three reasons. Reason number one is so you can identify both and differentiate between them, okay? So you can know who is the sensational preacher who is preaching accurately and who is the sensational preacher who's just preaching lies or just is inaccurate in his statements, doesn't know his facts, doesn't know his Bible. So that's number one. So you can identify both and differentiate between them. But the second reason is because, you know, the right type of dynamic preaching is actually being criticized today. You know, people often look, and by the way, this, there's no new thing under the sun. You know, people have often criticized the Independent Fundamental Baptists for being sensational, okay? You know, from the time of J. Frank Norris in the 1920s, when he was ripping on sin, he was ripping on evolution, he was ripping on communism, he was ripping on alcohol, people criticized him back then. They would say, oh, you're just trying to be a sensationalist because you're calling out all of the bankers who are involved in adultery. You know, this guy would often put billboards in different parts of the country. More specifically, he had two churches. One, I believe, was in Detroit, Michigan. If I might have that one mistaken. But the second one for sure was in Dallas-Fort Worth. Okay, but he had two of the biggest, largest churches in America at that time. And he would put these billboards where people could see, and he would say, come to church tonight, I'll tell you about all the bank, the name of the bankers who are involved in adultery. And you know what? A ton of people would show up. And you know what? Five bankers would come up and say, please don't tell them it's me. You know, yeah, that's sensational, but it's accurate. Because those guys even confessed to it right then and there. When he preached against evolution, he would bring up a monkey, you know, and keep him on the platform and preach against evolution. You know, one time, one of the most famous stories is there was a drunk driver who hit another person, killed him, and the guy's brains were just splattered all over the pavement. He came and he grabbed a broken glass, a bottle, scooped up his brains, took it to church, and preached against alcohol. Amen. You're like, whoa, that's a little extreme. That's a little sensational. Yeah, but I guarantee you, you got the point across. I guarantee you the people in the church are like, I'm not touching another drop of alcohol ever again. This guy is crazy. But you know what? It's the foolishness of preaching that saves them the belief. What people deem to be foolish is actually exciting and it changes lives, right? But people criticize this type of preaching, not just then, but even today. They say, oh, you're just going overboard. You're just trying to get attention. You just want people to listen to your sermons and click on your channel. Yeah, of course. Are you Sherlock Holmes or something? Wow. Yeah, of course I want people to listen to me because I have the truth. And I want people to get the truth. Therefore, I'm going to preach with sensationalism accurately in order to attract listeners so they can get the truth. Not to self-glorify myself or try to make myself to be some big person, some big shot. It's because we have the truth. And if we have the truth, let's present it in such a way, in an exciting way, that people say, well, maybe this person has something to say. I'm going to listen to this. And their lives end up getting changed because of it. So, you know, the reason I'm preaching on this is so you can identify between the two. And also because the right type of dynamic preaching is actually being criticized. People say you're going overboard, you're exaggerating, you're seeking attention. But then the last reason is because, you know, just as a reminder to the future pastors of this church of the importance of being dynamic and accurate. Okay? And let me just make myself clear. If you're not dynamic and accurate, you're not getting sent out. Let me just say this. Even if you're accurate, you're not going to get sent out. Because you need to be dynamic. We want to produce dynamic preachers. Preachers that when they get up and they preach against sin, the people in the pews obviously see that you're being serious about what you're talking about. Okay? So it's important. And I'm not ashamed to say that I want to be a sensational preacher. Of course. Because I don't want to be boring. I don't want people to listen to me and be like, oh, this is boring. I don't want to listen to this. Now look, folks, obviously there's a time and place for everything, right? There's times when we have to preach sensational sermons against certain topics, against certain people, call out names, and it's going to be an exciting sermon. And other times when we're just teaching doctrine, where you're just going to have to discipline yourself to be ready to hear, to listen, and to apply that which is being taught. We need both. So let's talk about the wrong type of sensationalism. Number one, sensationalism is wrong, and we already mentioned it, when it's coupled with inaccuracy. This is the individual that's simply putting on a show. We're talking about preaching here, okay? Their presentation, so to speak, you know, they got a lot of bells and whistles, but not a whole lot of gas in the tank, okay? It's very shallow. This preaching has a lot of yelling and a lot of screaming, but very little Bible content. And this is exactly what Hananiah is doing. Because he's saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken to him. And look, folks, there's pastors that get up all the time. They get up all the time and they preach weird sermons. And guess what? They're lying, whether they know it or not. Okay? They get up and they preach the flat earth. You're a liar. You are a liar. You are inaccurate. And you can slobber and do this show and foam out the mouth all you want. You can yell, kick, and scream, but the information is inaccurate. You need to have both, okay? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, go to James chapter 3 if you would, James chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1 says, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, when we preach, we're going to preach with accuracy. Now look, folks, this is not to say that pastors can't make mistakes. Obviously, we make mistakes. We're human. We're sinners. We're not infallible people. We're going to make mistakes. But hold on a second. When you make just severe doctrinal mistakes about salvation, severe doctrinal mistakes about things that are just common sense, severe doctrinal mistakes in regards to the Word of God, the King James Bible, you know, that raises a question. You probably shouldn't be a pastor. And look, and if you're sensational and you're preaching inaccurately, that probably shows that you're being a pastor for the wrong reason. Right? Look at James chapter 3, verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Folks, there is a wisdom that doesn't descend from heaven or from the word of God. It's earthly, it's sensual, and the Bible says it's devilish. In other words, it's the type of preaching that really feeds the flesh. Now, let me give you some examples of these, okay? You know, an extreme example of this would be yellow journalism. You guys ever heard of yellow journalism? You think of, like, the exaggerated tabloids you see in the grocery store. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Like the Inquirer, right? You go to the grocery store and you say, you know, Bat Boy or something, you know? Or, you know, this, there's aliens and UFOs. I remember being a little kid. I'm like, why isn't this stuff flying off the store, man, this is some interesting stuff. If I had money, I'd buy this. And I'm thinking like, man, they found aliens when I was a kid. And it's just like, what in the world? And they're already taking over the world. I mean, just complete exaggerated nonsense. It's sensationalism just with no accuracy whatsoever. They just completely put fake stuff out there, fake news. They have a lavish use of pictures, misleading headlines, pseudoscience by so-called experts. They have no legitimate or well-researched news. Now, the equivalent to this in the biblical realm is like troll channels, right? You have these channels that troll men of God, and they're very sensational. Bruce Mejia exposed, all capital letters. Bruce Mejia denies salvation by faith. And then you click on it, it's like, this guy's lying. You liar. You're not even legitimate. You're just lying. You're being sensational. You're inaccurate. And look, there's tons of channels like this, right? The Raisin Files. You know, where you have this idiot just constantly making these claims that, you know, oh, all this stuff is, I'm going to reveal to you in the next video the sins that are going on at Faithful Word Baptist Church. And here we are 5 months later or whatever. And nothing's being exposed. You know why? Because they're lying. That's why. They're lying. You know, Steven Anderson exposed. The new IFB exposed. We have something on Bruce Mejia. You got to listen to this. And then you click on it. It's just like clickbait is what it is. It's completely inaccurate. It's yellow journalism on YouTube. It's the Bat Boy. You know, the Bible tells us that they which are unlearned and unstable rest the scriptures, right? Yeah. They take things completely out of context. You know, these are the people that desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They just want to fly out the mouth with this false information because they want the attention. But when you click on their video, when you open up their link or whatever, it's just a bunch of nonsense. It's shallow. It has no facts whatsoever. This is the wrong type of sensationalism, okay? Now, let me give you some modern-day examples of this. For example, Gene Kim is a sensational preacher, okay? And if you don't know who Gene Kim is, God bless you. You shouldn't. You know, he's this hyper-dispensationalist who, you know, by the way, our church is non-dispensational whatsoever. We reject hyper-dispensationalism. We reject modern dispensationalism. We reject moderate whatever dispensation. It's not even in our vocabulary, okay? The only time it is when we're reading the word dispensation in the Bible that is not defined by what they say it is. But he's this hyper-dispensationalist that believes like in Nephilims. Genesis 6, Nephilims, right? That angels came in and they married, you know, physical women and they had these massive children, you know, the size of skyscrapers, they're referred to as Nephilims. And they'll use this to try to get people to listen to them. This is sensationalism. Because why? You say, why is that? Because Nephilims aren't real, folks. We don't adhere to the book of Enoch here at this church. The book of Enoch is a fraud of a book. You say, how do you know the book of Enoch is a fraud? Because it doesn't match up with the rest of the Bible. And it sounds like a yellow journalism is what it sounds like. It sounds like the tabloids in the grocery store. Like the Inquirer. It's completely inaccurate. But yet you have a guy like Gene Kim who will use sensationalism to teach Nephilims. You know, you have, for example, I forgot his name. He's in North Carolina. He's a dispensationalist. Sluder. The guy believes in aliens, folks. He claims to be a pastor, and he believes in aliens. He literally has a video of him and his buddies trying to hunt aliens in Mexico. I would say, hey, you didn't have to go to Mexico to find aliens. You can find them here. I'm just kidding. But literally, he was looking for aliens. And they're going to all these people, and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, they come out of the water right there. And, you know, the lights come out here. And he's just, like, completely excited about this. It's stupidity. It's like, what in the world? Folks, aliens don't exist unless you're referring to people who are from different countries. Okay, but they're referring to, you know, those gray little men with big eyes, you know, who abduct people or whatever. This is sensationalism. And you literally, and the reason they do it is because they want the clicks, they want the attention, but when you click on it, and isn't it interesting that every video on aliens, every video on Bigfoot, every video on the Loch Ness Monster, I mean, we're in 2020 where cameras are very well. I mean, they're really good. The resolution is high quality. We can't get a single video that's not pixelated, blurry. Hey, turn down your shutter speed on your camera the next time you film the alien or Bigfoot. Why is it always blurry? Why is it always pixelated? I'll tell you why. Because it's fake. It's completely fake. We live in 2020 where you can capture anything on camera and high quality film, right? But you have, I mean, Bigfoot just keeps getting away, doesn't he? Doesn't matter how massive he is and hairy he is. Doesn't matter how many people have seen him and how many people have been, you know, been attacked by him. You have all these fables and stories of people talking about Bigfoot, talking about, you know, all these weird creatures out there, but not a single. You say, what about that one video from back in the day? It's blurry. It's fake. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the guy even who filmed it said, yeah, this is fake. It's not real. It's a guy in a suit. But yet you have Christian Baptists, so-called, who want to believe in this nonsense. Folks, if a pastor out there believes in aliens, he should not be a pastor. He's given to fables. Okay, you know, talking about skinwalkers and Bigfoot and aliens and Nephilims and gnomes and, you know, and fairies. A Jew once said this, this is for children. That's the only time I'm a quote Jew, right? But this is sensationalism. When sensationalism is coupled with inaccuracy, it's wrong. It's completely wrong. Has no substance, doesn't add anything to you. Okay? So number one, sensationalism is wrong when it's coupled with inaccuracy, but it's also when it's coupled with empty promises. Now, you're in Jeremiah 28, look at verse 11. It says, and Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nation, listen to this, within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now he said, what's so inaccurate? What's with the emptiness of that statement? Well, God had already told him, you guys are going into captivity for 70 years. 70 is a lot different than 2. So what is he doing? He's delivering an empty promise. Oh, don't worry, God's going to deliver you in 2 years. And in fact, he's even going to bring all the vessels from Babylon into the house of the Lord as well. Wrong. It's an empty promise. People use sensationalism to convince the listener of a promise that they cannot deliver on. Okay. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, let me give you some more examples, some modern day examples of this. And I'm not just picking on the dispensationalists. I'm just saying that they have a tendency. They're notorious for this stuff. Okay. Robert Breaker, who is a hyper-dispensationalist, this guy has multiple times placed on his video, you know, when is the second coming of Christ? Is it this year in 2020? And he puts out these videos where he tries to, you know, convince the listener or whoever's watching him that he knows when Jesus Christ is coming back. It's an empty promise. Because when you click on it, it's like, oh, this guy's not, he doesn't know. This is just a whiteboard. A guy with a white shirt and a tie and a whiteboard with scribble scrabble all over the board has nothing to do with what he claimed that he was going to deliver. Look at 2 Peter 2 and verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, sensationalism, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. These people who have these crazy promises. One famous example is William Miller and the Great Disappointment of 1844. The Seventh-day Adventists, when they said, Jesus is coming back, Jesus, and he didn't come back. Same thing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. where they predicted the second coming of Christ three times and failed miserably every single time, obviously. What is that? That is sensationalism with empty promises. Or how about this? Prosperity preachers. Ha! Send in your $20, ha! Send in $100, ha! And you'll be healed of your cancer! And they send in all this money, they still have cancer, their leg is still broken, their bills are still not getting paid. You say, why aren't their bills being paid? Because they're given to the prosperity preacher! That's why these Benny Hinn's, you know, these preachers of L.A. type pastors who are very sensational. I mean, they do the dance. They got the ha. And they allure people to the lust of the flesh. They promise them liberty. Liberty from financial debt, liberty from, you know, their broken ankle, from their cancer, and all this nonsense. But you know what? It's a bunch of empty promises because they give, they get their handkerchief in the mail and their holy water, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. These are sensationalists. And look, Pentecostals, I know I talk about them often, but they're notorious for this as well. Benny Hinn with his jacket, and he's like Street Fighter everyone all over the place, and he's healing people left and right. It's fake. It's empty promises, folks. It's not real. The Bible says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So look, folks, we should reject the sensationalism that promises something that we know that God does not promise. You know, when Jesus Christ is coming back. And we're not talking about the timing of the rapture as far as it's after the tribulation. We're talking about people who literally set a date to the rapture. Harold Camping, for example. When he predicted that the end of the world was going to be like March 23rd of 2003 or something. And people are literally selling their merchandise. They're selling their houses and their yachts and their vehicles and their possessions. Because they thought Jesus Christ is coming back. What happened? March 24th came around and you had a bunch of broke people. Why? Because they listen and adhere to a sensationalist that delivered empty promises. Okay? So sensationalism is wrong when it's coupled with inaccuracy, when it's coupled with empty promises, and here's the last one, when it's coupled with patriotism. And remember, we're talking about preaching here, okay? Look at Jeremiah 28. Go back to Jeremiah 28. This is a notorious thing in the old IFB. Huge. You'll have pastors in the old IFB that get more sensational about America than they do about doctrine. They're as boring as dust when it comes to doctrine, but when it comes to the election day and Trump and, you know, vote Republican, conservative, oh man, they get with it. They foam out the mouth. When you ask them their opinion about Hillary or, you know, Joe Biden, folks, I get mad over both. But they get all crazy and sensational when it comes to those things. And look, you want them to preach a fiery sermon? Just give them the topic of America. Just give them the topic of who they should vote for, right? Jeremiah was not a patriot. He loved the people of Judah and the people of Israel because he wanted them to be saved. But here's the thing. He preached against Judah. He even says in verse 8, telling Hananiah, he says, look, the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries, against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. So what is he insinuating here? He's saying, hey, Hananiah, you know, just to let you know, I'm not the enemy here. Every Old Testament prophet has preached against nations and countries. I'm not the first one to come up with this message. You know, and then later on, you see that he's being accused of being a traitor. Oh, he's fallen away to the Chaldeans, they said. He's like, I haven't fallen away to the Chaldeans. Just because I'm preaching against America? Why don't you go back to your country? If you don't like it here in America, why don't you go somewhere else? Well, are you saying that because I'm preaching against America? Doesn't make me a traitor. It makes me honest. It makes me a realist. You know, you want the tabloid message. You want the Inquirer message. You want the Bat Boy message. I'm giving you the real deal. You want CNN and Fox News, which are sensational networks that don't tell you the truth. Right? You know, I want the truth. Okay? Now, let's give some examples of this. Of course, Hananiah is a patriot. He's like, he's gonna save America in 2 full years in the vessels of the Lord. Revival's coming to this nation while everything's just burning. Revival's coming to this nation while there's billions of babies being aborted every single year, millions. We're going to see revival in this nation. God bless America. While there's a bunch of sodomites parading. Yeah, right. While pedophilia is being accepted in California as legal. Right. You're reading a tabloid. You're reading the Inquirer. That's not the right news. You want some, and they're preaching the sensationalist preaching of revival in America. And what they mean by revival is like, let's get a conservative in the office. That'll bring revival. Folks, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then I will heal their land. If my people, not the president, not the mayor, for sure not Governor Newsom. And look, I'm not backing these devils up. I hate Governor Newsom. Amen. The guy is a wicked, satanic pervert. He's garbage. He doesn't deserve to be a governor. The guy is pro-homo. You know, he's pro-abortion. He's a stinking devil. You know, I know the majority of those fires are in Northern California. I hope he falls into one of those fires. Amen. Oh, to God that would happen. Okay? He's wicked. And let me just make myself clear. I hate Governor Newsom. Amen. I hate that guy's guts. What was I talking about? Okay, so patriotism. Oh, no, look at it. You're against California because you're preaching against Governor Newsom. Folks, you're reading the wrong tabloid. Okay? Now, let me give you an example of this. You know, in the old IFB, you had this guy named Tony Hudson. How many of you know who I'm talking about? He's one of the most sensational preachers you'll ever see in the old IFB. The guy is like 500 pounds, okay? And he does this thing. Who has a hanky? Anybody got a hanky on them? You're old IFB. I know you got one. No? Okay. He would like... All right, here we go. Dr. Rita, thank you. So, you know, he would preach and, you know, he would do these things where he would stomp, right? He'd go... and do that. And people were like, hey, man! Like, well, come on now! I'm not joking. You think I'm exaggerating? Look up videos. You'll see him doing that. And look, it looks funnier with him because he's just massive. And he's like stomping and he's like preaching. Well, he had this thing at North Valley Baptist Church where he was preaching. Because remember, we're talking about sensationalism coupled with patriotism. Where he's just like, I'm not this, I'm an American. And he grabbed the American flag. And he's just going up and down the platform, waving the Babylonian flag, talking about how he's not this, he's an American. He's not a Central American, he's an American. He's not this, he's an American. Everyone's like, hey man, hey man, hey man. Folks, there's no Bible in that. What are you amening? Shut up. There's nothing to amen there. It's if it's supposed to be a church service, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Amen. Preach the word. Amen. Preach Christ. But what is he doing? He's preaching Babylon. But people love Tony Hudson. Okay? And let me just be honest with you. You know, he might be a saved guy. I don't know. I just know this, is that when you look at his church, guess who the vast majority of people saying amen in his church are? All the ladies. Big problem, no. First of all, ladies aren't supposed to say amen in the church service. According to the Bible says keep silence in the church. Those are literally the words that it says. Okay, you try to exegesis that all you want. It says just means don't talk during the preaching. Okay, but yeah, you have him, and literally you have people in his church, ladies in his church. I'm not exaggerating. You think I'm exaggerating? I'm not being a sensationalist right now. I'm accurately stating what he does in his services. People literally running up and down the aisles in the Bible Belt. You know, waving his hanky around, and people get all excited about America, about all these things. It's like, folks, it's inaccurate. You know, but yet when you get him to preach a sermon on false prophets, he just breezes over the scriptures, won't talk about it. Why? Because it's not his thing. Yeah, it's the Bible's thing. Okay. So this is the wrong type of sensation. And look, there's another guy from North Valley. He's the Filipino pastor there. He said, oh, you're just being a sensationalist for calling out these names. Yeah, I know. Paul the Apostle did it too. Paul the Apostle was very sensational. Though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, he said. And he called out names all the time. Apusin from North Valley Baptist Church, he literally said this, I'm an American before I'm a Christian. He's an ordained minister saying that nonsense. And I'm like, amen! That's right, brother! Garbage. Sensationalism coupled with patriotism doesn't go together. And that's why you have old IFB so strong on these political views, but not strong enough on the Bible. Okay? And I'll get back to that in just a bit. So that's the wrong type of sensationalism. We shouldn't adhere to that type of sensationalism. It's entertaining, yeah, to make fun of. But not to adhere to and think that it's right or biblical. Let's talk about the right type of sensationalism. Sensationalism is right, and I'm going to breeze through these. When number one, when it's coupled with the truth, obviously, right? You see, the Bible tells us that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Paul the Apostle said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit. That is sensationalism. But guess what? It's accurate. And you have people out there that literally will criticize that. Oh, you're just trying to get attention. Duh. What do you want me to do? You want me to put my candle under a bushel? Right. I thought we're supposed to put it on the hill so that everyone can see. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Go to Luke chapter 24. And look, when we preach, we should desire to provoke interest and cause you to feel a certain way where you want to feel like you want to serve God, right? You want to repent of your sin. You want to get right with God. You want to love the Lord more. This is what we're seeking to do. But if I got up here and just preached this entire sermon and wasn't getting sensational, you'd be like, all right, yeah, that's good. But, you know, I don't know if he's really serious about what he's saying, though. Look at Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 30. Where are we at here? 24. There's no 37. Luke 24, verse 28. This is Jesus on the road to Emmaus. He sees the two disciples, and he's communing with them. He says in verse 28, and they drew nigh into the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained them, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And look what it says, and while he opened to us the scripture. That's awesome. He said, didn't you feel like your heart burn? You know, not because they ate spicy food or not because, you know, whatever it is that Jesus did. He said specifically, when he walked with us and when he opened the scriptures. Why? Because the truth burns the heart, right? And I think every single individual here, myself included, can attest to a time when a biblical preacher got up who was sensational. And you know what? Our hearts burned within us. Why? Because the scriptures were opened. Because it was the truth of God's word that was sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierced to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, joints and the marrow. It was a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Even Jeremiah, when he was tempted to quit, He said, I will speak no more in his name, but his word was within my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I could not stay. He's like, I wanted to quit, but I had the word of God in my heart, and it was just burning. You understand? So sensational preaching is great if it's coupled with the truth. If you have sensationalism, if you're excited and zealous and passionate and you're using the scriptures, it's a good thing. The Apostle Paul said this in Acts 20:20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He's saying, look, when I taught you, I didn't keep back any information. I taught you everything I knew. And here's the problem with the old IFB is that they were very sensational. Even the saved ones were sensational. Very sensational, but they would do this. They would say, they would read one scripture, and they would say this, now close your Bibles and look up here. And most of the sermon was stories. There wasn't any biblical content. You know, it was very sensational, but that left a lot of room for a guy like Jack Scop to come in, who was an extremely sensational, exciting preacher, but the guy was a devil at heart. I mean, having sexual relations with a teenage girl, the guy was super wicked. But you'd ask anybody prior to that, I was like, man, he's one of the best preachers in America. Why? Because he was sensational, that's why. But it wasn't coupled with truth. Now, who's an example of this in the Bible, of someone who is biblically sensational? Well, Ezekiel is one of them. Go to Ezekiel chapter 10. You read the entire book of Ezekiel, he's doing some crazy sensational stuff. He's building little toy soldiers, little platform with toy soldiers. People are coming by like, what is this guy doing? He's like, this is how you guys are all going to get destroyed. They're like, oh, dang. I mean, picture, he's setting up little toy soldiers, a platform, and people are like, what is this grown man doing with playing with toy soldiers? He attracts the people to come to him, and they're like, what is he doing? He's like, well, this is what's going to happen to you. Thus saith the Lord. And he just used that as an opportunity to preach against them. Very sensational. But you know, I guarantee you those preachers in those days, oh, you're going too overboard. That's a little too exaggerated. Did you really need to do that? You just want the attention to yourself, don't you? You're just being sensational. Well, actually, God told him to do that. Look at Ezekiel 10, verse 11 says, for anybody who asks, why do you like scream and yell and slap the pulpit? I've had so many people, look how many times, look how he slaps the pulpit to get people's attention. Yeah. Especially if you got someone falling asleep, we got to slap the pulpit to wake you up. And they literally criticize that. Well, look what it says in Ezekiel 10, 11. Thus saith the Lord God, smite with thine hand. Smite means hit. Stamp with thy foot and say, alas for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. By the way, what is that? That's an exclamation mark. For they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Oh, man, I just don't like that kind of preaching. It just kind of makes me nervous. Well, it should. But he's telling him, smite with thine hand, stomp with thy foot, and preach hard. What is that? Sensational is what it is. Don't criticize dynamic preachers if they're preaching the truth with zeal. Okay? Now, let me explain something right now. You know, there's a term that we often use for people who are Baptist, who are more political than they are biblically based. These are the people that when election time comes around, doctrine goes on the back burner. Okay? We call these people what? Fox News Baptists. Okay, you guys ever heard that? We say these are the Fox News Baptists. And I don't know if you noticed, but this is not a Fox News Baptist church, okay? But there's tons of them out there. And why do they exist? How do they get to the point? How do they get to where they're at? Well, I'm going to explain to you how. Okay, and I was actually discussing this with the guys a couple days ago, and I believe this is right. The reason so many Christians, not just pastors, but the reason so many Christians love going to Fox News to listen to Tucker Carlson, back in the day, Sean Hannity, you know, Rush Limbaugh or whatever. I don't even know if he's on Fox, but he's part of that conservative party. The reason they like these guys, okay, is because of the fact that I'm sure there was preachers back in the day who told pastors, hey, you're going a little overboard, a little too zealous, you need to tone it down. You know? And these pastors, they toned it down, they weren't being sensational. So what do people do? They go to a sensationalist. If they're not getting the truth with sensationalism here, they're going to look for it somewhere else. And you ask anybody about why they like Tucker Carlson, they're like, oh man, because he just tells it like it is. Even though he's Episcopalian or something? Or Catholic? I don't know. All the same, right? They're like, oh, he tells it like it is. He just, man, he says things that others would not say. But folks, that is actually given to the pastor to do. So the reason church members have become Fox News Baptists is because, not because they hate the truth. It's because the pastors are not given the truth with sensationalism. So they go to these sensational talk show hosts to hear the truth. The pastor's not preaching against BLM. Right? They're not preaching against Black Lives Matter. So what do? They go to the Fox News Baptist who is. Or the Fox News talk show host who is. The pastor's not talking about sodomy or sodomites and what the Bible says about it. So what do? They go to Fox News to figure out what it is that they should believe. Folks, the church is the pillar and ground of truth. And if the pastor was sensational and exciting, you wouldn't have all these Fox News Baptists going to Tucker Carlson, going to Sean Hannity, going to all these other people who are not saved. Right? Who are not saved. They wouldn't be going to them. They would get their views molded by the Word of God and God's house. So don't tell me, oh, you're just going overboard. Well, yeah, I need to go overboard so that people in my church don't go to Fox News. Yeah, I need to be sensational and preach on controversial things, call attention to myself because I got the message of God's word. Because if I don't do it, they're going to go to the message of Fox News. That's what they're going to do. And that was the problem of the previous generation, folks. Where pastors say, hey, you're just going to go a little too much. You just, you know, why do you got to say all those crazy things? You know, you don't got to, you could just be like any other pastor. Let's just be completely normal. And okay, then you know what? Our people are going to find this somewhere else. And it happened. Folks, the pastor of today for old IFB churches, the favorite pastor of today is Tucker Carlson. He's the favorite. People love him. Oh, I just can't wait to get home and click on Tucker Carlson. You know, see what he's got to say. This little clip, 5-minute clip or whatever. You know, because they're not getting it from their church. So what I'm saying is this, is don't criticize the dynamic preachers because they're the ones who are holding the fabric of spirituality, so to speak, of this country together, if they're doing it right. Whereas you have other people who criticize this, well, you know what you should do, sir, is start getting sensational, okay? Start getting excited about the things of God. So the right type of sensationalism, it's right when it's coupled with the truth. Hey, it's right when it's coupled with love, right? We don't want to just fly off the handle and not care for people. The Bible tells us, and if some have compassion, making a difference, others save with what? Fear. Pulling them out of the fire. What does that mean when someone saves with fear? It's like, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. I don't want you to go there. This is what the Bible says. I mean, you are just ecstatic or excited. You're sensational in your deliverance of your gospel presentation. Okay? It says, some save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And by the way, when you go out there and preach the gospel, don't be a robot. Don't just try to get through your presentation. Hi, I'm Brother So-and-so from First Works Baptist Church. More important than, you know, you're just like. And that's when a lot of mistakes are actually made when you're out preaching the gospel. Oh, what church do you go to? I go to a Catholic church. Oh, good. Well, more important than that is like, good. Are you paying attention to what the person's saying? Most people say good when they say they go to a Mormon church or a Catholic church because they're just not paying attention. They're just trying to get through their gospel presentation. You know, you should have a sense of sensation of love towards the people you're speaking to, right? And when you're talking to them, you actually love the people you're talking to. Don't just try to, you know, get through your presentation so you can count one, count two, count three. It should be that the people you're talking to, you actually love and sincerely want them to be saved, okay? So the right type of sensationalism is coupled with the truth. It's coupled with love. And lastly, it's coupled with the right motives, okay? The motive is to get people's attention so they can hear the truth. Go to Acts chapter 20. This is the last scripture we're going to go to. Acts chapter 20. And make no mistake about it, the Apostle Paul was very sensational. Very sensational. Very controversial. Very sensational. I mean, he's confronting people. He's calling people out. He's calling Peter out. He's confronting him to the face. I mean, he's calling out the Jews. He's just very sensational, but he had the truth. He did it with the truth. He did it with love, and he did it with the right motives. Look what it says in verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with what? Tears. What does that mean? He was sincere in teaching the truth. He's like, I warned you night and day. I wept so you can see that I was being sincere. I was giving the truth. So what we see here is that he had the right motives. And young preachers out there who want to be pastors, you better have the right motives. If you're sensational, great. You better have the truth. You better do it with love, and you better have the right motives with it. Well, I just want to be famous. Well, then go join Hollywood or something. Right? The pastorate is not to be famous. It's to reach people with the truth. As many people as you possibly can. But here's the thing. So let me finish with these last two illustrations. Close your Bibles and look up here. You know, I don't remember who said this, but I used to hear this in Bible college a lot. There's a preacher back in the day who, I'm going to tell you two illustrations. The first one is this, is that there's a preacher back in the day. He was very sensational, and he preached the word of God, and he was just exciting, and people just loved coming to hear him preach. And look, didn't people love to come hear John the Baptist preach, even people who weren't saved, like Herod? Yeah, right. He must have been sensational, right? People love hearing Jesus preach. He was sensational. People came from every quarter to come hear him, right? Well, this guy, you know, he'd preach and people loved to hear him. And there's this other pastor, he couldn't get anybody to listen to him. He's just like, no one wants to listen to me, you know, oh, woe is me. So he came to the guy, to the pastor, the preacher, and he said, hey, how do you get so many people to come listen to you? And this is what he said. Well, I light myself on fire and people come watch me burn. Now, not literally, you understand that, right? Yeah, that would be a crazy show. He's speaking symbolically. He's like, basically, I just get on fire for God, and people just come watch me burn. And you know what? That's how it is with Christianity and pastors. That's how it should be. Because here's the thing is, when you're sensational, you're going to attract a lot of different people, saved and unsaved. Now, the hope is that the unsaved come because they see that you're just a sensational preacher, but that they get saved. They get right with God. They learn the right doctrines. And you know what, folks? As pastors, what do we do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, or Wednesday? We light ourselves on fire and people just come watch us burn. And here's the last illustration is this, is that there is a preacher back in the day who was very sensational. He wasn't sensational. It wasn't exciting, just boring. You know, your modern day Calvinist, okay? He wasn't a Calvinist. But, you know, he was just very boring and no one would come listen to him preach. And he's like, what's wrong with me? You know, like, I have the truth. No one wants to listen to me. What is it? And there's this guy who would act. You know, he'd go and do these plays. And people would come listen to him. And they just loved the way he acted and everything. And this would bother the preacher. He's just like, why? Why are you, you know, how come I have the truth and this guy doesn't, but yet people come listen to him? So he went to go talk to this actor. And he said, hey, something's been bothering me. I just want to ask you. You know, I have the truth of God's word. I have the treasures of Christ. But no one comes to listen to me. But yet you're like preaching fables. You're an actor. But everyone comes listening to you. Why is that? And the actor just paused for a minute. And then he responded by saying, well, this is what it is. He says, I present fiction as though it were true. You, on the other hand, present truth as though it were fiction. Ouch. What he's basically telling him is this. Is like, you're not passionate enough. No one takes you serious. So was it the actor's fault that no one wanted to come and listen to the preacher? No, it's the preacher's fault. Because God tells us to cry out loud, spare not, show my people their transgressions. He gives us the elements that every pastor should have when they preach the word of God. And if you know what? If you don't want to do that, okay. But don't blame other preachers or pastors for your lack of zeal. You understand? Sensationalism is not wrong. It's only wrong when it's coupled with inaccuracy, you know, when it's coupled with patriotism, with empty promises, but it's right when it's coupled with the truth. It's right when it's coupled with love, and obviously it's right when it's coupled with the right motives. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I'm thankful for the exciting preachers in the Bible, the prophets, but even those in times past, like I think of J. Frank Norris, I think of Jack Hiles, I think of my pastor, who were very sensational, exciting preachers to listen to. I think of Bob Gray Jr., who, because of his sensational preaching, I got saved. And I'm thankful that he was serious about what he was saying. And Lord, I pray that we'd raise up some exciting, sensational preachers, even in our church here, but that are accurate in what they say, that they would have the truth, that they would have love, that they would have the right motives. Lord, that we can turn this world upside down for you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do so. Help us not to lose our zeal. The Apostle Paul said it is good to be zealously affected in a good way. And I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd help us to do so. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.